Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Wealth Builder, helping to build stronger and better lives. And welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. This is our special opportunity to talk about a wonderful city with my co-hosts, Dan Calloway and Steve White. And, of course, we have a very special guest today. And that special guest is none other than Miss Tina Maria White. This podcast was created to highlight individuals born, raised, and Dan Calloway just gave me a new one. He said, born Riviera Beach, Riviera, raised Riviera, and you would be dead Riviera. So I don't know about dead Riviera, but definitely born, raised in Riviera Beach. And many years ago, I read a book entitled Acres of Diamonds by Russ Conwell, where he talked about that our diamond mines are actually found in our own hometown. And oftentimes, many of us travel the world looking for diamonds in other places, only to find that our richest, most powerful diamond mine was actually found in the hometown that we left. And so with that thought in mind, our vision here is to shed a light, a bright light, on the wonderful, smart, and talented individuals from our great city. And right now I'm going to turn it over to Dan Calloway and my special friend, Ms. Tina White. We're going to introduce her from Tina's Tires from Riviera Beach. Dan?
Good afternoon, Tina. Tina? Is she on? Tina?
You might be on mute, Tina, if you're talking. But let's go ahead and talk about program while Steve finds Tina.
Okay. Of course, this is our second week for people who were born, reared, or came here a long time ago in business. We've gone through former counsel, former law enforcement personnel, or law enforcement personnel, and the education. We've had many calls over the last month or two, and everybody's revving up, especially with in the middle of Black History Month. And I personally don't think we could have a better topic today with a black woman born and reared here in business, and then the founder of this program, born and reared in Riviera, and being a black woman. We're going to have to put more emphasis on black women in the business world. That just all to that. So that's most of what the topic is going to be about, the history of Tina and her plight as a business person. And, of course, she, as a part of the youth recreation, she's the brightest person we've ever had. So I'm looking forward to this as soon as she get online.
I'm here, Mr. Calloway. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can
hear
you.
You now.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Well, Tina, we got to get started. You know the routine. Give us a little about your humble beginning with the first grade all the way or where you are now, and then I'll ask you some other questions about your business, and I'll tell the people and you'll tell them about the importance of black females in business anywhere, but especially in Riviera and Palm Beach County.
Well, naturally, all of my education has been done in Palm Beach County through Palm Beach County School Districts, graduate of Florida A&M University, and started my professional career in sales with Xerox Corporation and was named Rookie of the Year in my first year. I think that Xerox really set the foundation of the businesswoman I have eventually become and continue to add to my skill base and knowledge that I learned way back in 82 with Xerox about how to negotiate and do business and when you're especially not necessarily welcome in the room. And as I continue to move along in my career path. I was very interested in non-traditional business areas that women were not seen in, such as construction and garbage and recycling and now tires. And hopefully tires is going to be my last dance in business. I hope to make such a big splash that the company will continue even after I have left the earth.
Well, that's beautiful. Well, where are your business located right now?
We're located on 13th Street, 1411 13th Street in Riviera Beach. I still am a homestead property tax owner in Riviera Beach, and it only makes sense for my business to be headquartered in Riviera Beach, even though I'm doing business outside of our county and state.
Well, I need to ask a couple of questions about the competition. How hard is it for a black woman or a woman in general, but I'm interested in the black woman right now because we are celebrating Black History Month, and are you having a tough time against the boys getting business?
That is a understatement. I was late joining the call because I was actually on a Sunday on a call with the vice president of a large corporation dealing with the issues that are constantly coming up with barriers set, you know, for me each and every time I think I've cleared the barrier to do business with that corporation. The competitors have had a 100-year head start in establishing their relationships with fleet managers and material handling managers that handle the warehouse distribution centers. And so here I come about and say, okay, do business with Tina White, a black woman. There are no black women in the industry. I'm the very first to be a Michelin tire dealer. I'm the very first, which is Michelin's the number one tire manufacturer in the world, and I'm the very first to be a Camsole forklift tire dealer, which is also the number one forklift manufacturer, tire manufacturer in the world. And I am at this time trying to break down the all-white male dealers network that exists with forklift, who makes the Toyota, which makes the forklifts that are used at most of the large corporations, who currently, for the last 54 years, have never opened up their dealerships to any black women or men in the United States.
Well, I think, knowing you as well as I do, this is a first to go into that. Now, you didn't say anything about Coca-Cola. How is that working out with the tires and everything for Coca-Cola? Because Coca-Cola is big, and most of all, it's a black guy that owns Coca-Cola.
Yes, Coca-Cola is, for the first time in 60 years, they open up their bottling network to Mr. Troy Taylor, who is the CEO of Coca-Cola. And on last month, Troy became the first dealer for John Deere Tractors, which for the first time in 184 years open up their dealer network to a black person. Coca-Cola, like any other company, Florida in particular, did $4 billion in sales, and so it's not run by any means as a mom-and-pop business. They have their policies and procedures, and they have persons in place that have to adjust to Mr. Taylor's commitment to inclusion. And so it has not been the easiest opportunity for me, but it has also was made easier by Mr. Taylor inviting me to the supplier diversity table.
Okay. Now, what about Palm Beach County before I get back to Riviera?
Palm Beach County, all of our governmental agencies, despite having a supplier diversity program, is still, I get less than 1% of their tire business. I am doing business with the Palm Beach County School District, which has taken me 3 years to get my first order from them, which did not occur until December of this year, of 2020. I've been doing business now with Palm Beach County Fleets, City of West Palm Beach Fleets, and City of West Palm Beach Police Department Fleet. Even though I am a resident and taxpayer and business owner in Riviera Beach, I only started doing business with the City of Riviera Beach in the last 4 months. So it has not been an easy nut to crack. I have just remained very persistent, and I basically just tell people, you know, I'm not going away.
Okay. Well, born and reared here in Riviera, and everybody know of the Whites. I mean, that's a household name, especially with you and your brother Steve, and your involvement and everything like that. I would think that the first city would open their arms and their business and their pocketbooks and whatever would be to your business. Now, of course, we got a committee got to stop that. We got to stop all these people from coming from all over the world when we got people here can give us the service. I'd rather, even sometime when it's white, we still got to take care of our home. So how is that working out? Are you comfortable where you are with Riviera and West Palm Beach and the school board? And
absolutely not. I get less than 1% of the actual dollars, actual public taxpayer dollars that they spend on tires and tire services. So I'm absolutely not comfortable. I can tell you the City of West Palm Beach, which has one of the largest police force, or the second largest police force next to Palm Beach County Sheriff Department, spent a mere $7,000 with me last year. And you have to know that as large as their police fleet is, they are replacing tires closer to $1 million a year than a mere $7,000 that they spent with me. So it's no equity so far in my opportunities to do business with governmental agencies.
Well, I have a meeting with the former police chief up in Palm Beach Garden, Chief Stepp. He is now the assistant city manager, and he still got his hand in the police department. And I would like to be able to bring that up in the meeting, because we do have a great relationship there. And the other person, I just can't imagine that West Palm Beach, the largest city in Palm Beach County, and we have a black mayor, and you not getting anything down there.
We have a black police chief as well at the City of West Palm Beach, and they just sent me a tax reporting document to show they spent a little bit over $7,000 with me last year. Palm Beach County Sheriff Department, which spends more than $1 million a year on replacement tires, met with me, said that I was the most informed person they've ever met to deal with tires. And even though I could show them by using Michelin BF Goodrich Pursuit tires, they would save $10.20 per tire and still have a safe tire that met all of their safety tire specifications. They still continue to give their business to a white company exclusively.
Well, I hate to hear that, because you remember I retired from the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, but I was under the auspice of Richard Willie, and that's a big difference. But I will bring that up. I will do that in the next week, because we have to. I think that the community, when especially black women, which is the stronghold of the black race, and I'm sad to say that, when we get a black lady or woman in business or anything, we should support that, because I know when everything breaks down, the mother or the grandmother going to be there to keep that family going. I know that. Now, what do you need from the organizations like the Youth Recreation Association, other organizations that deal with different people? Should we be able to go and speak in your behalf or in the behalf, especially with Black history, we got to put our money where our mouth is. We want things to happen, but we don't go out and fight for Black people to get their portion of the business.
Well, I will tell you this. Mike Bernard, in terms of past history with me, has done a phenomenal job in helping me to get some entrance. However, when it came to the Sheriff Department, he just kind of remained silent on that, and I asked him to set up a meeting with the sheriff himself, with him in attendance, and that is a request that has gone unanswered. The Sheriff Department was not a part of our disparity study with the county. However, all of the sheriff funding comes from the county taxpayers, which we are all a part of. And why they are allowed to not show any diversity and inclusion with their suppliers is, to me, unconscionable, and that the county commissioners have, as a collective body, and including with County Administrator Virginia Baker, has to be put on notice about that. That's just not acceptable that the sheriff gets to continue to institute policies that only create wealth and equity for all white males.
Well, that was what I was going to ask about Virginia Baker. Well, our group and myself set up a meeting and go and explain to her the pulse of the county, and especially Riviera. See, before we didn't have these type of positions, ladies trying to do this and that and need this type of business. Would you like for we to address that?
Oh, absolutely. What I've told Virginia and what I've told the county commissioners, all in writing, because I not just single out Mac Bernard, but I communicate with them all in writing, Tina Tires is good business for the entire county. I partner with their Juvenile Justice Department. I partner with the City of Riviera Beach Reentry Program. I partner with Palm Beach County Career Source. Every contract that I'm able to obtain, if it's of significant value, it can't be $7,000, those contracts will allow me to hire people in Riviera Beach who cannot get employment other places. It allows me to train them, give them a job skill that whether they stay working for me or not, they can take and continue to use and stay gainfully employed. So whenever a government agency or a large publicly traded corporation partner with me, they're investing in creating new jobs, new taxpayers, new homeowners, and they're contributing to reducing crime and high unemployment. So it's good business to do business with Tina Tires.
Well, I think that the co-host or the founder of this program gave me something without me mentioning that. I have a meeting with two of the council people in Riviera next week, and I wish I'd have known what I know now because of I was with the taping of Walter about Black history, being honored for Black history and giving the history of Riviera. We'd be playing all this month. And the highlight, and I'm thinking about our council with three women and two men. Three women is the majority vote in Riviera. And the females who are in position to have a company or something that can bring on service that we need, they should be highlighted, number one. And it should be local. We got to stay local. So I think that some of us, you can't fight this battle all by yourself. You need support. See, because I know you. When you win, we all win. So that will be taken care of. I promise you that. Now,
One of the things that I will say is that I wrote to the City of Riviera Beach Council for an entire year. And finally, when Ronnie Felder became the mayor, he said, Tina, this makes no sense. You're in Riviera Beach, you live in Riviera Beach, you pay taxes, and you are literally less than 10 feet away from the fleet where our tires are put on our cars, and we're not doing business with you. So Ronnie put together a conference call with the city manager and with Terrence Bailey. And Terrence Bailey told the city manager that the reason why I had not been able to do business with the city is that he had not gotten permission from the police force, which the city manager explained to him made no business sense because the police force has nothing to do with who the city purchased tires from. And so once the city started to purchase tires, I was still told that Terrence Bailey has prohibited them from buying the B.F. Goodrich or the Continental General police tires for the police force. Well, in a city the size of Riviera Beach, the biggest spin is going to be on police tires. So if I don't have those, I'm not able to supply those tires, I'm really just, you know, getting pennies from the city.
Well, but the main thing about it is our chief asked me to sit on the board for the Police Athletic League. I met with him quite a few times, and Steve and I met with him a couple of times because of, we're going to be part of the forfeiture fund somewhere down the line. But this is more important because of knowing you. If you win, we all win because you're always going to donate or do something back for the community. You always calling, fighting for the least, the lost, and the left out. Now, I know that. So why not have our local people doing something here when they can, whatever they make, they're going to always give a portion back for a different organization, nonprofit organization, especially like John F. Kennedy Middle School. And I know how you feel about education. And, of course, we got a tutorial program, but we're going to be doing way more things in the present, in the future, than we are in the present. Steve, do you have something to say right now? Can you hear me, Steve?
No. Yes, we can hear you.
Did you say no?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, my mistake. I put the phone on mute. Okay, so yeah, I do have a question, I guess, and that is that just to shift the conversation to talk about, for people who are listening, to talk about just the attributes that it takes to be successful in business. I know you've talked about specifically what's going on with your business, but those attributes, because there are a lot of people say that they want to go in business, but they don't understand, you know, just what it takes as far as their character or those attributes that's required in order to be successful in business.
The main thing I like to share with people, and I can't say it enough, you must be prepared. You have to know your business inside and out, and you have to be prepared for what the persons you're trying to seek business from are going to use as objections to not doing business with you. If you don't understand your business model, if you're not ready when the opportunity presents itself and you tell the person, I got to get back to you, I don't know the answer to that, you've lost it. You lost your opportunity because you only get one shot. And one of the things that UPS just recently came back to me and said, and Lowe's, is that Ms. White, despite others in our company saying to you there were no business opportunities, you continue to send emails, you continue to elevate the conversation until you got to a vice president or an attorney or someone in our organization to say, wait a minute, we should be figuring out how to do business with Tina Tires if we have a commitment to supplier inclusion and diversity. And so I just never accept no as a final. It just does not exist with me. And you have to be willing to rattle the cage if you really want to be fed.
Well, it's no excuse for Riviera and West Palm Beach. Now, I can't answer for my brothers and sisters of Delray, and of course, I will talk to my goddaughter. She just lost her husband, Andrew DeGraffenreich, Mary Sheely DeGraffenreich. And she's working as an assistant to the city manager of Boynton. Now, I will have that, but it'll be a week or two because I got to get her through this situation. But I'm a little angry knowing how you have fought all these years for other people. And I want you to know that Reverend Sylvester McKenna called me 2 days ago, and we had a long conversation. And I know you fought hard for his business. You've been fighting for people's business ever since you returned from Atlanta. Now, nobody have to tell me that because I've been a part of the listening audience and one of your number one cheerleaders. And I'm not going to stop because I know where you are coming from. You're a good person. And you fought for the little person all these years. So did you finish, Steve?
Of
asking the question?
Yes. I just like to say that.
What Steve was trying to make the point of is that for persons who are out there in the listening audience and are contemplating how can they go into business or how can they, scale their business up, what have been some of my obstacles? Like all small businesses, one of the main obstacles are access to capital, not having, the money to buy the type of equipment that you need to do business with a large corporation like a UPS and a Coca-Cola who spends, hundreds of millions of dollars on tires, on replacement tires. And so that has always been a problem for us in terms of being able to get access to capital. And there has not been any local organizations, governmental organizations, any of the above that have made those dollars available. However, corporations also have a duty to look internally as to how they can help a company do business with them. For an example, anytime I do business with a large corporation, I ask them for a net 10-day payment because paying me on a 30, 60, or 90-day payment, that makes sense if I'm a large, corporation like a Boulevard Tires or a Callahan that's had 100 years to become wealthy in the tire industry. But for a small business like me, even 30 days could cause me to not be able to continue purchasing tires, paying for staff, trucks, gas, all of those things related to being able to service a large corporate fleet.
I understand that, and especially you own your business 100%. And that got the more the business, the more capital you will have to be able to never be behind in your payroll or whatever. But I need to get something clarified here. In Riviera, there's quite a few Fortune 500 business. Most people don't know where they are, but if you go from Blue Heron on Australian to 13th Street and go back toward Obama Way, which was Old Dixie, they all house back there, and some of them are down on the lake. And we don't get enough of payback or payout back into the public from that. But whenever a black business is housed in Riviera, they should be really on the top of the totem pole. That just all took that because of makeup.
Well, we have no commitment from our own local officials to even talk to these large corporations about their small businesses, asking them to participate in the contracting with these small businesses. As I said to UPS, I'm held up in traffic every morning as their trucks come from 17th Street to 13th Street, passing my building to get, starting their day. And I'm right around the corner from UPS. I can provide for them tire services just as quick as Callahan or Boulevard Tires. But initially, when I approached the UPS and the Lowe's, they said, there's no opportunity for you. I had to continue to send emails and elevate the conversation to higher decision makers to finally an attorney with UP, with Lowe's said, yes, you are, you know, a good business fit for us. And UPS said, yes, you are a good business fit for us. But, you know, it takes, it took 18 months to get that conversation.
Well, you shouldn't take no 18 months to get a conversation with Riviera. Riviera should have made you the number one priority. Number one.
Well, I just, if we look historically at who Riviera Beach does business with, number one, Riviera Beach doesn't even want to look historically at who they do business with because they don't, they won't even put the money behind a disparity study to show that they have been discriminating against the very taxpayers that have supported the city to be what it is. And number two, if you go before anyone at the city seeking business, if you don't look like a white person, your business is not given the same equal respect. And so it's only so many hours in the day as a business person have. And I think Ann taught me this pretty early on. You have to decide, you know, where you're going to spend your quality time on pursuing business that's going to matter to your bottom line. And if it's not going to be a city or a government agency that's going to impact your bottom line and you only have so many hours in the day, you got to, you know, switch gears and go after the business. And right now, I won't pursue any more government business for that reason. I'm strictly putting my business attention on publicly traded Fortune 500 and 100 companies.
Well, let me ask this question here before we get off the air. Who is the person besides the city manager and the assistant city manager that we need to, that I need to set up a meeting with? Now, I know about Jonathan and I know about Mrs. Jacobs.
Well, Terrence Bailey is he's over Public Works and the procurement of tires fall under him under Public Works and the new purchasing manager. That's who it falls under. But ultimately, I look at Riviera Beach as a large corporation, and its CEO is Jonathan Evans. So I don't waste any time really trying to go down the ranks. I always start at the top and let the top, you know, tell staff this is how we're going to operate.
Well, I'm glad to go.
They spend your time with Jonathan and not with others.
Well, I'm not going to go down the ranks either because I don't believe in go around the ranks. I can't get a final answer. I got to go to the person who's going to give me the final answer, which is Jonathan. I understand that. But I'm also going to talk to the mayor, and I'm going to talk to three or four of the council people because that was some of the things they ran on when they were running for that position to help out with the local people. And you are local.
False profits.
Go ahead.
False profits.
Okay. Well, Ann, do you have anything to add, sir?
Hey, Tina, how are you, honey?
I'm excellent.
I know we're on the air, so I have to be careful what I say to you because you do know we do have those conversations. And a guy told me a long time ago, West Indian guy, he must have been 90-something. He said, you know, they can't get your goat if they don't know where it is. So I'm going to refrain from making any comments other than it's great to have you on the show. And I really want the world to know that this is an excellent example of why when you are black, male or female, you must have a disparity study. I don't care how black your city is. I don't care how black your staff is. You must have a disparity study. And I want to say to you, Tina, publicly, I said it to you privately, but I want to say to you publicly how much we all appreciate all of the hard work that you've done in fighting the good fight for the disparity study that was created for the county, the school board, the city of West Palm Beach, and solid waste. And they do have one in progress now for Riviera Beach, and we're going to pray for that. But I do want to just publicly say thank you from one black female to another. And as Dan Calloway said earlier when we started the show, you know, there's a lot that rides on our shoulders, a lot as black women. And we do have the conscience of the community, and not just everything that we say, but everything that we do. And for many of us who have chosen to come back to the city in one way, shape, or form, after the story of Acres of Diamonds, where we've traveled the world and we've done great things in other places, it's time to do better things at home. So I just really want to encourage you not to give up the fight, continue to do what you do, and definitely, like the conversation, you know, you and I had, and you just kind of quoted me when I talked about the fact that, you know, you have to decide where you're going to invest your time, talents, and treasure. All we have is really energy. Energy is the only thing we have. And moment by moment, we each get to choose where we do invest that energy to get a greater return on that investment. Because at the end of the day, it is truly about service. And that's what you have done tirelessly, and even at the detriment of your health. And so I just wanted to just say I really honor you. I respect you a lot, and I'm glad to have you on the show with us. And just please continue to be encouraged in whatever you do, because you're going to do well anyway. So Dan and Steve and Tina, if you want to give some closing remarks, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. But we must have you back and tell the other side of the story, because I do know that there will be a part two.
The only thing I want to end by saying is that I started a nonprofit foundation called Black Girls Balancing Tires. And the whole premise of it is so that I can introduce black girls and young ladies from the age of eighth grade through college to the many rewarding financially and internally motivating careers related to transportation and equipment ownership, such as forklift dealerships and things of that nature, because that's an industry we have not been exposed to. Fleet managers, that is a big job. They pay big bucks, government and corporate, for fleet managers, things of that nature. So that foundation has been started so that I can introduce our younger people to that industry that, you know, at this age, at that age, the age they are now, I knew nothing about. I didn't even know about, even in my early 30s and 40s. So it's an important industry that has been overlooked, and until we start developing a pipeline for it, there will not be people that look like you and I in it.
Well, congratulations on your endeavors. I was there when you brought it up at the very beginning, and I'll be there as long as I got life. And it just bothers me that you're not further down the road, because everybody, if they know you and listen to you, you're going to deliver the goods, and you're going to be a person of your word. You're in the top five black women, white women, or any kind of woman I know that really should be the highest, and the other one is on the other end of the line, and Carl McNeil. Now, let me say this here, and we'll finish, because next week I intend to have Erza Sappo, another homegrown guy. And I want everybody to know that for years when you got back here, you wrote many letters, and you still... you told us about some kind of grant. Now, we haven't gotten it yet, but we will. They have already said it'll be in the mail sometime soon, another $15,000. You always reaching out to tell us where we can get funds for scholarships, for food, for clothing, for the senior citizen or whatever. We've been doing this for 57 years, so we're always going to need some help. But I know on the 27th of this month, we will feed another 32 families. We fed 52 families, and by them, that's like 128 people at four in each one of the households, and not one male. It's either a grandmother or mother right in there trying to scrabble around to get things going while this pandemic is just killing everybody, not just putting them in the graveyard, because a lot of people putting their dead and they're still alive because of they can't move, they can't get them food to feed their family. And that little $600 they got from the president, it would have been nice to have the $2,000, but now that's in limbo. So you keep up the fight, and I will put a little more effort to get other people to talk to the government in your behalf. I think if enough of us act like the village that the Africans say, this is a village, the real child. And it should be the same thing for especially black women, because everybody had a mother. Now, we may not can identify the daddy, but we can show identify the mother. So that's my last thing. Congratulations, and I love you very much. And I'm on a phone call away.
Thank you, everyone, right, for having me on the
thank
show.
You. Thank you so very
bye-bye.
Much.
Bye-bye.
You any closing comments, Steve? Yeah, I guess he must be on mute. All right, everybody. We want to thank everybody for joining today.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize for putting the phone on mute to keep the background noise out. So, yeah, thank you for sharing with us, and we definitely wish you well.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, thank you, everybody. You have been listening to hashtag I Am Riviera Beach podcast with Dan Calloway, Ann McNeil, and Steve White with our special guest, Tina Marie White. Thank you. Everybody have a good day. And good day. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Y'all have a nice week. Keep up.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Steve, next week
yes,
sometime,
sir.
Give me a call.
I will. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you now.
Thank you.